What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 274 on this Thursday, May 28th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy, Brody Lusk with you. We're going three wide today because it's a big weekend. Big official visit weekend for Oklahoma. Turned into one of the biggest ones of the summer. Lots of big name guys going to be in town. Needed both guys, Colin and Brody, to help set the table for it. The names to know, the headlines, the storylines. We're going to get all of it. We're going to set the table on the show today as OV season has arrived. And we'll send you on your way into your final weekend of the month of May. Recruiting starting to pick up. And we'll be right there with you every step of the way as Sooners Illustrated, which is why you need to subscribe. Reminder, you can do so at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Take advantage of it. Do it. Be with us all throughout the summer, all throughout OV season. Camps are about to start up. And obviously, it'll be media days, fall camp for the team coming up in a couple of months. So be with us every day over at Sooners Illustrated. Take advantage of that promo code and be with us over at oklahoma.247sports.com. All right, fellas, let's get into it. First off, three wide. Colin, good to see you back. It's been a couple of weeks. 3 weeks ago, I had state tournament baseball stuff, so we didn't do a show. Then last week, Brody tagged in for you while you were on vacation. Did a great job. Good to have you back. And nice to go three wide here. I'm excited. I think we're going to cover this as well as it can be covered today. I'm ready to roll on this.
It's great to be back. Had a great vacation. Brody, Josh, Tom covered for me in excellent fashion as usual. And I am excited about this return because to have this type of crew, I mean, it goes to show you, number one, the type of weekend we're getting ready to talk about. But getting to talk ball with my guys ahead of a big OV weekend, it's that time of year. I'm fired up to be here, man.
Brody, one show under your belt. Show number two, feeling good, feeling like you're, you know, in the groove now.
Feeling great, yeah. Ready to really get going with the recruiting coverage starting this weekend. Starting to really get stuff going.
Absolutely, and it's going to be a huge weekend. And that's where I kind of want to start. Now, so we're going to get into a bunch of specific names, obviously, to keep an eye on that you guys both want to kind of pinball back and forth on. But just put into context first, guys, what this weekend is. I mean, we were going to talk about it. Obviously, Brody and I kind of set the table a little bit last week on the show. We're talking about, you know, starting this weekend and really for the next few, you know, going into the month of June, going to be guys on campus, and there's going to be a lot of these big weekends here and there, guys come and go. Obviously, schedules change, but the way it's kind of shaken out, and obviously, Colin and I were talking last night, kind of planning out this show. You were giving some of the names to me, CK, and I was like, dang, man, these guys are all going to be here at the same time this weekend. This has turned into a pretty huge weekend for Oklahoma, is it not? I mean, it feels like this could end up being one of the biggest of the entire summer when it's all said and done. A lot of guys coming into town.
This is the most important OV weekend of the year for Oklahoma. And yep. I think that when you talk about a loaded 2027 class, for context, obviously Oklahoma fans are used to the Champ U Barbecue being OU's biggest annual OV weekend event. But typically that takes place towards the back end of June. OU's traditionally waited until around the 20th-ish, that final weekend before the dead period hits, to really try and hammer home recruiting momentum before decision season. But again, this loaded 2027 class for Oklahoma's kind of filled up already. I mean, they're in the top two nationally in the 247 Sports rankings. Several commitments already occupied, and so spots somewhat sparse, but more additions left on the table. And when you look at the names that are coming in specifically for this weekend, this is essentially OU's Champ U Barbecue. There are going to be nine, correct, Brody? Nine names?
Nine, yes.
They're going to be coming in to Norman this weekend, and all those nine names are priority targets. And then when you go on from here, I think what further backs that up, we obviously don't know what the season looks like, but 2027 will largely be wrapped up by then. And at least for now, when you look through the remaining weekends of June, there's a chance that a lot of guys that are currently slated to visit Norman may not end up showing up, especially on the heels of a weekend like this, if some decisions go in OU's favor. So it's why we're three wide today. It's why we're getting ready to talk a lot of ball, because this, to me, is Oklahoma's biggest OV weekend of the summer by far.
Yeah, huge weekend. I mean, just because really their top two headliner targets will be on campus this week. And I think that is also what makes it so big. Not just that they have nine guys on campus, but you also have your really two top 100 targets that you're really pursuing on campus this week. And I think just the quality of guys they have also that they could add to this class that's already second in the rankings, it really goes to show just how good this class could end up being for them.
Was it, you know, for either one of you, was this a concerted effort to get these guys at one time, or is it just kind of the way it shook out with, you know, guys' schedules and things? I mean, obviously it does seem to kind of help when you get multiple of these guys in together at one time. That does seem to help, you know, just in recent years, just kind of going back through it. But was there an effort to make this that type of weekend, or to just kind of shake out that way?
I would say it's a little bit of both, but I do think that there was a lot of effort on Oklahoma's part to try and bring these guys in. I think a prime example of this is someone we're getting ready to talk about here in a second. Uila Wolfgram was supposed to visit for a separate weekend and ended up moving his trip up. I think in large part because Oklahoma wanted him to be around a fellow State of Utah guy and Bodie Sparrow, another name we'll talk about, and Crew Jones, who's going to help Oklahoma recruit both of these guys. And so I think that that's one example of several when you talk about the list we're getting ready to discuss, that the Sooners wanted all their top targets in for this specific weekend. Yes, some schedules had to break that way to make it this type of weekend, you know, of this caliber this early on, right? Sure. I think that's a little bit unique, but I think once Oklahoma realized this is probably the weekend to zero in on, definitely a concerted effort to get all of their top targets that they could on campus at one time.
It's exciting stuff, and we're looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out. Obviously, over the next few days, coverage will be over at Sooners Illustrated from both of these guys. And with that said, let's go ahead and start getting to some of these names that are going to be here and kind of letting people know what they need to be watching for and kind of where things sit with some of these guys. Let's go right to the top with the biggest names, the headliners here. Brody, I want to go to you first. Obviously, right down the road here, you know, he's a guy we've talked about pretty, you know, off and on pretty regularly for a while now. And Gabe Osborne down at Mustang, obviously a guy that I think most OU fans, obviously, if you're watching this show, listening on pod, you're probably pretty into recruiting. But even if you're not, like you're just kind of vaguely keeping up with it, you probably know who Gabe Osborne is. Very highly touted, just down the road. Going to be in town this weekend, Brody. What's your understanding of where things are just kind of at with him right now, and what sort of progress can be made this weekend as they get him into Norman here over the next couple of days?
Yeah, it'll be a huge weekend for them on that front. Obviously, top 25 cornerback prospect. You know, so a lot of it, I think right now, he has other visits scheduled. You know, you're looking at Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Miami, that's his top five. Those other three schools have visits scheduled with him. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what Oklahoma is able to do, knowing that Gabe Osborne does have other visits on the books after this weekend. I think of those remaining schools, Ohio State is really the one to watch as far as taking Osborne really out of Oklahoma's backyard. So it'll be interesting. I mean, he's been to Oklahoma quite a bit, but never had the official visit overnight experience. So Oklahoma is really obviously going to try and push hard to get Osborne to go ahead and commit, but he does have the visit scheduled, and I would be surprised if he didn't take the rest of them. So yeah, you try and get him locked in, but kind of might have to play the long game with Osborne. So he's obviously the main one. I mean, they just haven't had a cornerback they haven't got a cornerback like him really ever. I mean, he's that talented. So, you know, I think it starts with him this weekend. And I think he's a big reason why this is such a huge weekend, because if you're Oklahoma, you want to get to the front of the pack before his other visits.
Yeah, I am. I will say I find it really interesting, because going into this weekend, do I believe that Oklahoma has plenty of opportunity to try and secure a commitment from the likes of a Gabe Osborne? Absolutely. I think that another thing to consider is Brody made a really strong point in that Gabe really hasn't had like a multi-day type of experience in Norman, at least in a while. And if you'll remember, you know, that Future Freaks weekend for OU's Junior Day, Gabe Osborne kind of had to be shuttled in and out because he's had so much multi-sport stuff going on, between basketball and track, and he was really only around for that weekend for a small amount of time, especially compared to the other visitors. And so the relationship with new cornerbacks coach Lamar Morgan has been built up a bit, and obviously Oklahoma has loomed large in this recruitment for a while, but OU getting arguably its top priority target on campus for a multi-day visit, I mean, that's huge. That hasn't happened yet, and I think it's going to give the staff the type of quality time to pitch this prospect. They simply have not had the opportunity to do so. And so I think that Oklahoma and Ohio State, well, I think Ohio State has accomplished a lot ahead of the summer. I do think OU has not only every opportunity to catch up, but potentially surge ahead. It just kind of comes down to what this trip looks like, how much time they get with Gabe Osborne. And to be quite honest, what are those conversations, and let's just be frank here, negotiations look like as well. And so,
yeah,
I think Oklahoma plans to be very aggressive. I think that Oklahoma has a lot to pitch to Gabe Osborne. And I think at the end of it all, OU understands what's at stake. I think that Oklahoma understands that if it doesn't make the most of every opportunity this weekend, Ohio State and Alabama, it's going to be difficult to, kind of like Brody mentioned, play the long game and circle back around. So I think OU's ready. I think that they're ready to kind of amp up the pressure here, for lack of a better term. And in doing so, I think that Oklahoma does have an outside looking in shot of potentially finding a way to win out of this recruitment in the end. We'll just see what, you know, they can do before he takes those other trips.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, a player of this caliber is a top 25 player in the class for us at 24/7, you know, obviously. And then he's down the right down the road in Mustang, just a stone's throw away from Norman, obviously. It puts a little more, I don't know, emphasis, at least in, from a public perception. And obviously fans always really, really want those Oklahoma kids, those high-end ones especially, to stay and stay. It stings a little more when those slip away. Obviously, they have lots of other corners. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But just a really high-end guy right down the road from you. You know, you'll see if Oklahoma can make some headway there. But a big, big name there, obviously, certainly fits into the category of headliner, maybe the headliner of the weekend with Gabe Osborne, for sure.
If not him, then probably the other big one is obviously Bodie Sparrow. You know, Bodie Sparrow, yeah. I think that I mentioned this on the board last night. I think that the gap or the space between Bodie Sparrow and the next closest safety target for the Sooners on the board is pretty large. I think that Oklahoma views Bodie Sparrow as one of the utmost priorities in the cycle right there along with Gabe Osborne. And at the end of it all, to be quite frank, like considering what's about to take place with Gabe Osborne, there's a lot of moving pieces here. I think going into this specific weekend, there is a very real shot that Oklahoma could close on a caliber of safety like Bodie Sparrow. And I think there's a lot that goes into that. Number one, I think that kind of like what I was talking about earlier, Oklahoma's calculated shot to get three Utah-based guys on this weekend, I think that's very appealing. Crew Jones being there this weekend is huge for a number of different reasons, but when it relates to Bodie Sparrow, those two are very close friends. They've taken Oklahoma visits together. This will be the newest edition of that tandem taking a trip to Norman together. And I think that I was actually thinking about this the other day, guys, and it's kind of interesting. You know, when you talk about Bodie Sparrow, a guy who's being recruited on both sides of the ball, and by some programs, honestly, he's had a little bit of two-way mention. I find it unique that Oklahoma really sunk its teeth into the idea of Bodie Sparrow being a safety specifically and really kind of being one of the first to really hammer home the vision at safety for him in their defense. And I find it unique that a guy, again, who's being sold on playing both sides of the ball or playing some receiver, heard that message and was very receptive to it. I think that speaks volumes to the potential partnership here. I also think Bodie Sparrow is very comfortable with the staff and the setup in Norman. And I think Oklahoma, knowing all of this, and again, shuffling things to make sure people he knows and values are in attendance for this, my eyes are very much on Bodie Sparrow going into the weekend. One of the two biggest headliners, but to me, the headliner of the – it's maybe a little bit more realistic for Oklahoma to close on.
Yeah, and I think another interesting – point to mention here is that right now, their safety room right now, they don't have a ton of depth there. I mean, you outside of your top three guys and Peyton Bowen, Boganowski, and Martin Robinson, you don't have much depth. So you can really pitch to Bodie Sparrow and Jalen Scott, who's already committed, that they can come in right away and make an impact. And I think that that is noteworthy as, you know, they look to Lance Sparrow. You can tell him you can come in right away and you'll be able to get on the field. You'll have every opportunity to do so. So I do think that also has worked in Oklahoma's favor and should continue to work in their favor.
You mentioned Jalen Scott, the one other safety committed in the class right now. Colin, you mentioned, I mean, this is a guy that does play offense as well. Is this a full-blown safety situation? We talked about Sparrow a couple of times, but is there any – does he want to play defense? Like, is it a for-sure safety thing? Could this change in the future? Is your understanding that it's a safety all the way if he comes to Oklahoma?
Yeah, I think that kind of to what I was talking about earlier, I had a couple different people over the course of the recruiting cycle text me and ask me, like, hey, you know, how does Oklahoma see Bodie Sparrow? Because sure, a lot of programs out there were recruiting him as a receiver, and some who are trying to gain ground in his process were pitching potentially some two-way snap stuff. And for the longest time, and Bodie has talked about this, we wrote a story over the summer in a interview with Bodie Sparrow, and he said – Oklahoma really pitched me on playing safety and went in depth on the vision that they have for me at the safety position in that scheme. And I think that for Bodie to, again, kind of put all of the other stuff in his mind away about playing receiver, playing on both sides of the ball, and to hear Oklahoma's pitch at playing defensive back and basically saying, I'm all in on that concept. I really believe on what they're trying to do with me as someone who could potentially go play safety in the NFL. To me, Oklahoma has really sunk into the idea of him playing defensive back and safety, and that's helped OU stand out in a way. And so I don't think that they would go off of that message. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, something drastic were to change. But as we've seen, Bodie Sparrow is kind of open to whatever Oklahoma is willing to pitch to him at this
point. And to Brody's point, safety room is in a great spot. We've talked about Brandon Hall for a number of years now. He's done a phenomenal job recruiting guys, developing guys. But you are looking at the room having some turnover pretty soon. And, you only signed – I mean, you had Markel Ford, who you brought in, and then I guess Nico Jandro, right, I mean, is in that room as well. But you only have one right now in 27 in Scott, like we said. So, yeah, I mean, to get another guy in there would not be a bad thing at all, especially a really good one, an athletic and talented one like Sparrow. So – definitely two of the big headliners there, both in the secondary, in Osborne and Sparrow. They'll be guys that kind of lead the conversation going into the weekend. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break. But there's a number of other guys as well. Some other notables for you guys. I know that there's a bunch that fall into this category, but kind of throw it out there as far as some other big names coming up this weekend. Colin, you had touched on some Utah connection, obviously. Brody, I mentioned with the cornerbacks as well. Whoever wants to jump first can go for it.
I'll go ahead and lead off with Uila Wolfgram. Sure. We already brought up his name, and I think that it is very important to consider that Uila Wolfgram has already visited the program mm-hmm. that is considered the primary competition to Oklahoma in this race. Now, he does have an OV set up with BYU for later this summer, but I think that both Oklahoma and UCLA, who we just visited one of these recent weekends, I think both of those programs understand that there's a chance, an outside chance, that Wolfgram decides out of those two trips to potentially shut things down. I think the UCLA visit went well, but I think that at least the buzz that I've picked up on, I think that there's a lot of eyes on what happens with Wolfgram going into this trip. I think that there is an expectation that Oklahoma, OU has chipped away at this recruitment, and I think for the longest time we've talked about how much can they gain the ground and do what's necessary to get up towards the top. I now think that Oklahoma's climbed up towards the top, and I think out of that UCLA trip, it's still relatively neck and neck. And so I think OU has the opportunity to potentially take a lead coming up this weekend with Wolfgram. And I love the calculated shot of putting Crew Jones in front of Uila Wolfgram and having those two meet about potentially joining the same edge room. And so I'll tell you this too, the recent in-home visit that Miguel Chavis and Stacy Ford had with the Wolfgram family, I'm sure people saw it. I tweeted about it. They're helping with things on the farm with the Wolfgram family. They're working out. They're flipping hay bales and running with pieces of tree trunks. And I heard that in-home visit had a real impact on the Wolfgram family. And I think that this weekend sets the table for the Sooners to really surge with a priority target. Recent four-star too, by the way, at 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting with him as well. I mean, Miles Smith was another edge target that was originally supposed to be on campus this weekend. We reported last night that visit was no longer going to be happening. And today he goes and commits to Indiana. So Wolfgram is really your edge target on campus this weekend that they can kind of zero in on now that Miles Smith won't be there. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I definitely think having fellow defensive end, Crew Jones, on campus the same weekend, all through those Utah guys, I mean, you would really hope that those connections could work in their favor. I agree with Colin. I think it's a great move to get him on campus this weekend with the other two Utah guys.
Yeah, and it's a great note from Brody. The fact that Miles Smith not going to be in town, it just seems to make it even more of like a slam dunk. If you can get this done to do so, you know, Colin and I have talked about it, you know, going back to even before they had Samuel Nelson in the boat, like probably one other couple of edges here to go with Crew Jones. You got Sam Nelson done, and it just kind of felt like with Wolfgram, like from the first time that they kind of that became a thing and we got to look into him and it's like, whoa, obviously the profile, the body type jumps out at you. But it just seems like with each show that we've done where we've talked about him, it's just become more and more like this. This is feeling more and more like a thing. And now we get to this weekend. He's going to be in town. You add the Smith wrinkle, the Utah connection. It just feels like this is something that could very well get done soon, hopefully, if you're Oklahoma. And obviously, Miguel Chavis out there moving hay around. You know he wants it when he's moving hay around out there. That's a good indicator that they want to get this one done.
I noted it in the tweet too. It's like we skip over the fact that they were doing all that stuff and like they watched a live birth of a calf happen in the middle of this in-home visit. When's the last time a staff went on the road and watched the birth of a newborn cow? That has to be a first.
Unreal. It's unreal. I got to imagine a Miguel Chavis in-home visit is probably extremely entertaining for him and the family.
Yeah. With Stacy Ford too, by the way, which I do think is interesting. I mean, these front office guys have been able to go on the road now, which I think is elevated Oklahoma too with a lot of these guys.
You know, it's funny. I was just looking. I can't remember what made me look, but I think I was just trying to get some ideas for some of the shows coming up in the summer as things start to slow down a little bit, especially on the current team sports. And it was just about around this time a year ago that we had a show. I think it was a show that maybe Tom and I did when OU hired Stacy Ford. And it's like, man, it feels like he's been around longer than a year with the impact he's made. It's been right around about a year on the calendar for him, and he has been instrumental. And obviously Oklahoma's West Coast has been huge, huge since he came into the boat about a year ago. Brody, I mentioned it earlier. Obviously, you know, Gabe Osborne, you talked about before, big fish in that cornerback class potentially that they're chasing. But there are other guys, and this has been something Colin and I talked about for a couple of years now, cornerback being really deep in 27. There are other guys going to be on campus. What's kind of your understanding there as far as the other guys coming, how they – what impact Osborne has on them? Is there any impact, just that dynamic? I guess I'm just kind of curious cornerback-wise, what are some other options beyond just Gabe Osborne?
I think cornerback's the position that I'm most curious to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, just it seems like we're going to kind of get a clearer picture of what's going to happen there after this weekend. I mean, obviously starts with Gabe Osborne, but you've also got a top 200 cornerback, Brandon Sherrard, on campus. Oklahoma really entered the picture late there, four-star cornerback. And now it seems like them and LSU are sort of at the top with him. That's going to be interesting. I mean, very talented player. And then Bryce Williams out of Florida, another four-star corner. Mm-hmm. You know, Nebraska's really been at the top there for a long time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But you have those three guys, and then you also have Trenton Blaylock, Torrey Blaylock's younger brother, who's supposed to be on campus in June. You know, it seems like they're going to go for two out of the four of those guys. I mean, who those two out of the four are, right now, it's really hard to tell. It's really hard to see how that's going to shake out. And I think this weekend we'll be able to get a clear picture on it. But, man, a lot of talent at cornerback that's going to be on campus this week. I mean, they're really going to have a host of uncommitted corners that are very talented for their official visits.
Yeah, I think when you look at this weekend, and Brody mentioned it, like how the corner stuff works itself out through the weekend and honestly through the next couple of days as they're all on campus together staring at each other, right? I mean, it feels like a race to two spots. And I think we all know Oklahoma would prefer to have Gabe Osborne occupy one of them, but that's far from a guarantee. Mm-hmm. Brandon Sherrard is fascinating to me out of Shadow Creek in Pearland, Texas, a program I'm very familiar with. Oklahoma, Brody mentioned it, very late to the party, but Texas was long seen as a primary contender with LSU. And I think the Longhorns having eyes on other corners, almost in a somewhat similar situation to Oklahoma, like Texas sorting through so many cornerback options allowed OU to enter the picture and move up the board pretty quickly in a small amount of time. LSU, like that's obviously, though, a massive contender to overcome, especially depending on how hard the Tigers choose to press. And then with Bryce Williams, again, this feels like one where four-star corner, Oklahoma's getting into the picture. We're hearing really good things. A guy that's down in the state of Florida, but similar to what happened kind of with Danny Odom last cycle, where Oklahoma and Danny Odom felt like a very – viable fit, and then Nebraska, who had prioritized him for a long time, gets it done in the end. I think that's kind of the curious aspect of this as well. Obviously the Osborne layer, but both of these corners have big time contenders already established that Oklahoma's competing with them kind of getting in here later on. And so I don't know how it's going to work out. Like Brody and I have been talking about it as we keep swapping intel on all these guys. That trio and then Trenton Blaylock, who the two out of the four are for Oklahoma in the end, I think is anybody's guess. But we're going to learn a lot over the next couple of days. And again, I find it so interesting that of the four names, three of them are all on campus at one time.
Mm. Yeah, I was doing a class prediction over on the site yesterday. And, it, you know, cornerback's the one position where I'm like, man, you could – I don't know. You could go really a host of different ways. I think what's going to be interesting is, do they get any of these guys committed by the time, you know, a week from now? I think that's what's going to be interesting. Obviously, Osborne has the visit scheduled to like an Ohio State or Alabama. Sherrard has a visit scheduled to LSU and a few other schools. And then Bryce Williams has Nebraska scheduled. So can you get one of those guys to shut it down after this weekend? I think that's something that I'm interested to see how it plays out. I mean, or is this going to be something that drags out with all of them, and then you just have to go zero in on one after all the visits are done and find one? So I think that's also going to be something to watch.
I think that's a really good point by Brody, because I think that's the other fascinating layer to this cornerback concept is, like, we talk about them landing two out of the four. Well, if Brandon Sherrard and Bryce Williams leave campus uncommitted and they take those trips to LSU and or Nebraska, like those other programs are very much established in these races. Well, then if they end up going to those other programs, you better get Trent Blaylock later this summer. Like all of a sudden that recruitment specifically becomes more of a priority. And if Trent Blaylock is taking trips, like I believe he's at Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yes.
If Trent Blaylock is taking other trips and he says, you know what, like I might see a better fit for me here, then this could become even more of a cloudy picture if all of these names start dropping off or exploring other options. It's a good point by Brody, and it's another aspect to consider. Like, you're trying to balance who occupies your spots, but you're also wanting to press hard enough to try to make sure you're getting maybe a name or two of these, because you let them wander off and explore other places, you're kind of at the mercy of the way that these recruiting processes play out.
Yeah. What would you set the over under at for committed recruits by this time next week from this weekend?
For me, I think the number is 2.5. And Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show, but I think the number is 2.5 at this time.
I was gonna say 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. You have the two guys, you have McCreary and Mikhail Davis right now committed already, obviously. And you guys both mentioned you want probably a couple more, but you have all these other guys. And, you know, I don't know, just logistically, it's always fascinating to me, these types of things, because, like, are one of those spots earmarked for Gabe Osborne? Or if the other guys jump on it, are they willing to move on? Like, these are things that it's hard to know for sure, obviously, until it actually plays out. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, this weekend with a few of those guys all being in town. And obviously, we've talked about Trent Blaylock a lot, his brother. Obviously, I know you right now as a second-year running back. Like, you would think you're in good standing to get him with the family connection and everything. It's going to be interesting, and it's a good thing. I mean, it's a lot of options, lots of good players, but you got to play your cards right to get this just the way you want it. It feels like if you're, you know, obviously Lamar Morgan in Oklahoma.
Defensive back is so interesting just in general. I mean, obviously we talked about Bodie Sparrow in the corners, but, you know, there's another safety that they have scheduled to visit later on in June, and then Gideon Gash, number 101 player in the class who they view as a cheetah. So, like, does that affect your defensive back numbers if you get a Gideon Gash? Would you take three safeties? Would you take four corners? I just think seeing how defensive back as a whole plays out is just going to be really fascinating to see over the next few weeks.
And it's funny, Josh, because like you mentioned it, it's like exactly that. It feels like we've been saying on this podcast for a year and a half, 2 years now, where it's like we keep talking about it. It's like, how are they going to handle corner and DB in 2027? They had been involved with premier prospects. I mean, you could go back to some of the names like Amontre Jackson, so on and so forth. It felt like they led for so many guys, a Juju Johnson.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with all these names? And now here we are, their first big OV weekend's coming up, and we're still saying the same thing. It's been a really fun aspect of the cycle to track.
No doubt. That'll be a fun storyline to watch coming into the weekend and see just kind of how it shakes out over the next couple of weeks and you know, obviously potentially longer as we go throughout the rest of the summer and they try to sort out that cornerback room. Quite a first cycle for Lamar Morgan to kind of be, you know, dealing with. Again, good thing, lots of good players that Oklahoma's in on, but also kind of tough for a guy at a new job trying to, you know, figure it out a little bit throughout this very, very loaded cornerback cycle in 2027. All right, before we go, more guys to keep an eye on. Obviously, we hit on a number of guys, but there are more, certainly. Like we said, it's a big weekend, lots of big-name guys. You know, I don't want to put on the spot because, you know, it's tough. You guys, you know, ask you guys to make predictions on what guys are going to do or try to, like, you know, say this guy I think is going to commit this weekend. That's hard. I don't put you in that spot. But some guys that you guys think that Oklahoma could make some serious progress with to really help close the gap on this weekend that we have not already talked about.
I think you look at Jacoby Dixon, the newest running back offer in 2027 for Oklahoma. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This to me feels like the most realistic potential commit of the weekend. I think that Jacoby Dixon gets the OU offer late in the spring. And at that time, not a ton else going on in his recruitment. And when Dylan McCullough goes down there, offers him, they make that face-to-face connection. I think since that time, the Sooners have been in the lead here, and he has yet to set foot on campus, right? Like he's been a name that they've been aware of for a little while, but now it's a real opportunity for them to potentially reoccupy the spot that was left open by Jackson Stokes when he flipped to Cal. So keeping it simple, like my eye is on Jacoby Dixon because Oklahoma's in the lead. And I don't really know who else is really challenging OU right now. And I think that's going to be reflected in the coming days. Maybe I'll end the show with that 2.5 number, do a quick topic on that. But I certainly feel like Jacoby Dixon plays a role in that type of discussion.
I agree. I think that that's one that kind of look at and say, you know, that one probably should be done as quick as they can get it done. And he's an interesting one. I mean, his sophomore year, he played really well and then had that injury his junior year. And, you know, so interesting player. But I think running back's also interesting because they were supposed to have a second visitor on campus this weekend who will not be on campus this weekend. So we'll see if a visit happens there. But Jacoby Dixon's one that it feels like if you really push him to go ahead and lock in that spot, I think it's hard to see something else happening there.
Yeah, and that's a guy we talked about a little bit last week. And when they offered him, Colin, I talked about him a few weeks ago as well. Fun player. You know, they were looking for another guy to replace Jackson Stokes to go with Keldrick Benn. Kind of like I said before with Wolfgram, only a little more sped up in that, like, they make the offer. It's like, okay, I could see this. And it's like, as time's gone on, it just seems more and more like this is the way it's headed. And he'll be in town this weekend, see if Oklahoma can maybe finish the job there, get that second running back for Dylan McCullough in 2027. Brody, I know you have one more guy you wanted to bring up as well. You wanted to touch on before we got out of here.
Yeah, Josh Christensen, defensive lineman. You know, it's kind of where will he play? It's kind of up in the air. He's one that I'm watching a little bit for different reasons than Jacoby Dixon, more so because he's an Oregon kid. He has a visit scheduled with Oregon, but he'll be at Oklahoma this weekend. So I'm interested to see if the Sooners can push him and really push him to get something done before he takes his visits to Oregon and Washington and those schools that are a lot further along there. I think that this is one where if he leaves campus uncommitted, it's probably one that I don't think Oklahoma will land. So I'm just interested to see if they can really put the full court press on him this weekend and get something done before he has a chance to make a trip to Oregon.
And it does sound like, for the record, that Oklahoma plans to be aggressive knowing what lies ahead. I mean, it doesn't take an expert to know that an Oregon-based guy being recruited by Oregon, especially a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
That's the type of program that someone like a Josh Christensen certainly fits. But we've heard that OU likes this guy a lot, wants to see what it can accomplish with him in Norman. You know, this visit kind of got squeezed in there fairly recently too, with Oregon, Washington, and a couple of others involved. But number one, to get that date finalized was big. And off the heels of that, I think Oklahoma, man, they're fired up about the opportunity to get Josh Christensen on campus. Josh, the last thing I have here on the show before we get out of here, and I'm curious to see what you guys think. You know, Brody asked, what's the over-under on commits? I know fans love this type of talk. Here's why I said it at 2.5. I think that, number one, you look at a Jacoby Dixon, to me, who feels like the most realistic potential addition of the names on the list this weekend. And I should mention, we have the full visitor list on the site. So if you want to see the other even talked about, go subscribe to SoonersIllustrated.com. Jacoby Dixon, that's one. Two, you're looking at Bodie Sparrow. Can Oklahoma close on him? Can Oklahoma close on either a Gabe Osborne or one of these other corners? And then I think Uila Wolfgram is very much a candidate, but similar to the corners, somewhat up in the air. So now you're hovering at 2, 3, 4, 5, and a Josh Christensen, who OU gets aggressive for
this week,
and among the other names on campus, all baked in. If I had to give you a guess, it's like Jacoby Dixon and then maybe a Bodie Sparrow or a Uila Wolfgram, but some of the other names we talked about, like, they got to figure out what's going on at corner. I think 2.5 is kind of the number going into the weekend, and I'm curious who wants to take it over or the under. I think I'm going to the under, Brody. What about you?
I was going to say the under. I mean, but here's what's interesting. It's such a big visit week, and they have so many top guys on campus. It just feels like there's always some sort of a surprise coming out of a weekend like this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I feel like the staff, you know, they do a great job recruiting and closing. So maybe they can pull off some sort of a surprise. But, I mean, right now, today, I would lean towards the under. But it'll be interesting to see how quickly I would go to the over, because it just feels like you get some of these guys on campus, they make something happen. That over could hit rather quickly.
I mean, Josh, I'm kind of talking myself into the over now, because I'm like, if they get Jacoby and then maybe they get Cody, what does Uila Wolfgram do? You know,
right. No, that'd be nice. And I wanted to also ask, and it's kind of basically a very similar conversation in terms of, you know, we've talked about it throughout this cycle. They've been ranked number one. They've been hanging on. They did get past. They're at number two now. Texas A&M moved up to the number one slot in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings by a smidgen, less than a quarter of a point ahead of Oklahoma right now. But more movement is expected. So we're talking Oklahoma looking to get, you know, several more guys potentially over the next couple, few weeks, whatever, into the summer. What kind of ballpark are you expecting as it's starting to round into form? And this may be easier for Colin to answer because he's been with us longer. But, Brody, take a shot at it if you want. I mean, not like you need to tell me, like, I think they're going to be number three. But do you think hanging on to top five is probably going to happen? Do they still have a shot at one? I mean, we've always talked about that's been really hard to do, and it's a long way to go. But we're getting to the summer now. I mean, this, what's realistic to hope for? Can this be another top five class for Oklahoma? Is that feeling like a likely thing at this point? It's still got some work to do.
I think that it's realistic if things break a certain way, because this is what I would say. If you get Bodie Sparrow, that's a four-star top 100.
Yeah.
It, Uila Wolfgram picking up four-star status at 24/7, and I think that Uila Wolfgram is someone who could continue to rise. That's another potential commit. If you can lock him up, that would then elevate your class status. Jacoby Dixon, yes, he's a three-star and a lower-rated three-star, but that's still something. And then, I mean, if you get a Gabe Osborne.
Yeah.
If you get Gabe Osborne, it feels like top five class is borderline guaranteed with some of the other names in the group, you know. And I think Gabe Osborne is one, too, who could continue to rise. I mean, the full – five-star group has yet to be named at 24/7 Sports, and I think Gabe Osborne is right in the mix for a top two spot. So I think top five to seven-ish is very realistic, but if things break your way with some, you know, recent ratings bumps and some of the names we're talking about, they end up in your class. Like, I don't see why not as far as that group. What about you, Brody? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, top eight without Gabe Osborne, potentially top five with Gabe Osborne is kind of the way I look at it. I mean, just because Osborne top 25, Bodie Sparrow top 75, and, you know, there's other highly rated names that are, you know, have visits scheduled later on. So I think that top 7-8, you know, I think that that should be the expectation right now. But you land an Osborne and a Sparrow, you probably should be very, very high up there.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that Brody mentions, like, Gideon Gash, another highly ranked four-star recruit. They close on him and they get some of the other names. It's like, are you climbing at that point? Because theoretically, that's multiple four-stars and potentially a guy in the fives that you're adding to this already stacked group.
Yeah.
That's optimistic thinking, maybe wishful, but it's not out of the realm of possibility either.
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting is the number of commits that they take. I mean, right now you're already sitting at 21 and you're going through this and it's like, I mean, could they take 28, 29, 30 commits? Because we're saying two cornerbacks, another safety, you know, running back, get to now defensive line, defensive end, look at maybe another offensive lineman. Like, it's going to be interesting to see just how many names they take in this class, but it makes sense. But when you look at the roster, and you could have a large amount of guys go to the NFL draft this year, so it makes sense taking a bigger freshman class, but looking like it's going to be a huge class.
Yeah, and if it is a larger class with a lot of names of higher caliber, then you're going to have an even better shot to stay towards the top of the class.
Sure. It's going to be fun to watch. And obviously, it's been a really good class this whole time. We've been talking about it, this 27 group. And it's amazing that, you know, as big as it is, as much as they've done, obviously the high end guys, the offensive linemen, and they throw a Cooper Witten, like all that they've accomplished. And we're still sitting here having a show like this. We're talking about all these big names that are still coming to town, still coming to campus. Like, there's more to do. So it's got a chance to be the best class that Brent has signed since he's been here. We'll see how it shakes out. But you're certainly looking at it as that possibility right now. There's no doubt about that. So a lot to be excited about. Big visit weekend. These guys are going to have it unlocked. They've both been absolutely crushing it. It's been awesome having Brody this month and more to come. Going to be a big summer for us as Sooners Illustrated. First show with all three of us. I thought it went good. You guys knocked out of the park. Made it easy for me. I just lobbed stuff up. You guys went. It was great. Light work for me.
I mean, hey, you know, that's why we bring Brody in. He's been crushing it. Tune in to Sooners Illustrated, man. Like, we're talking about this. Like I mentioned earlier, we didn't get to all the names. More OVs on the way. And plus, you know, another thing, Brody's been reporting very frequently about Oklahoma commits. We haven't even talked about retention.
Mm-hmm.
Commits are being pursued by other programs. We're going to keep everybody up to date on all the things that are going on in this 27 cycle over at Sooners Illustrated.
No doubt about it. All right, guys. Good stuff. Tom and I will be back on Monday. We're going to hit, I think, a couple of team things, spring meetings in the books this week out there in Florida. We're obviously shifting into June next week, so kind of getting into full-blown summer mode. Team, you know, Brent Venables camp's coming up, obviously, in the next couple of weeks. Colin will be coming up to Norman. It was nice to get CK back up here. And so we'll have more stuff there. And obviously, we'll be back, Colin and I, next Thursday, maybe Brody as well. We'll figure that out down the road. But more to come. Busy times are ahead on the recruiting side as we move into the summer. We're not going anywhere with obviously, a couple times a week, every week, over on Sooners Illustrated. That's it for now. For Brody Lusk, Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.